very end, we're going to finish off today. Mizmar Tzad, the Gimel, only a few little things. Maybe we'll start. And maybe page 846. 846, let's review. Okay, I want to just finish a few short things. We learned about these difficult psukim of the waters. Nasun Horos Hashem, Nasun Horos Kolom, Yisna Horosachem, Mikolos Maim Rabim, Adir Mishmiyam, Adir Bamar Maseh, Hashem, Eidesecha, Ne'endim, Le'olaveitzchon, Avakodesh, Hashem, Le'arachyam. Okay, so we spend a lot of time learning about the parish of the Mitzvah Stav. The Mitzvah Stav, it says, the word Nahar is a metaphor for our enemies. The enemies of Hashem, they make a lot of noise, and they rise up, they threaten. The waters are violent, they're dangerous, they're powerful, and they threaten to destroy the world. We need not worry, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is Oil Al Gabeim, Hashem is more powerful, and Hashem will eliminate them. Eidesecha refers to the prophets. They are faithful. Leveischa regarding Hashem's Beis Hamikdash. We spent a lot of time discussing the word Na'ava Kodesh. Either it means a beautiful holiness, or it means an abode of holiness. And then it said Hashem li'orech yamin. We said two possibilities. It means it's part of the prophecy. It's part of the prophecy that the day will come, the prophets who are the Eidei Secha, they are telling us that when the Bayis Shlishi will be rebuilt, it will endure forever. The word Le'orech Yamim is just a descriptive form of the word forever, Le'olam. Rashi said that's not what it means. It means we're waiting. We're waiting Eidei Secha Ne'emdu Me'od. Your prophets are faithful. They're very faithful. And they have told us about the Beis HaMikdash, Leveischa, their testimony was relating to the Beis HaMikdash, that is an abode of holiness. Hashem was still waiting. Hashem, Le'orech Yamim, we are patient in our yearning, Mitzapeh, for many, many days when the words of the prophecy of the Nevi'im will come true. Okay, that's a very, very broad summary of what we spent the last 2 days on. Let's look as really a hakdama to what the Malbim says, what it says in the Targum. The Targum has a very different approach to these psukim. It's not referring to the obliteration of our enemies. It's referring to the praise of Hashem. It's a descriptive form of praising Hashem. So let me just turn to the page here in the Targum. Here it is. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, Nasun Haras Hashem. The Pasuk says, just one moment. It's Pasuk Gimel. Okay, here it is. Okay, the Pasuk says, Nasu Naharos Hashem, Nasu Naharos Kolam, Yisu Naharos Tochyam. Targum. Targum says Zikifin Nahar Vosa Hashem, which means that the rivers have lifted themselves up. Okay, then it says again Zikifin Nahar Vosa, which means a kolhoin, and here comes the word that the Targum adds to the pasuk, which changes everything. Zikifin Nahar Vosa kolhoin bishirta, in praise. Okay, so the Targum is clearly learning that this pasuk is not describing enemies. We're not using the word Nahor as a metaphor for a Russia, for an enemy. But instead, we're using the word Nahor as a descriptive form of describing generals. It's just there are rivers, which is just a metaphor for tzaddikim, it would seem, who praise Hashem. They lift up, they raise their voice, zikifin nahar vasa kol hoin bishirta. And then it goes on to say, yikablun yisu naharos tachyam, yikablun nahar vasa agar shivacheyam. Yisu means they will receive. According to the Targum, Yisu does not mean to raise them, but Yisu means that they will take in, they will be recipients of reward. So Dochyam, the word Naharos Dochyam, means he translates. I don't know what the root of this is. How you get to the word dochya means the sochor of shirasan, agar. Agar is the reward of praising Hashem. Okay, so we have a whole new interpretation over here. We're not dealing with wicked people who are trying to destroy the world, using them as a metaphor for destruction. We're dealing over here with rivers which are a form, which are objects of praise. And why is a nohar a metaphor for a person who gives praise to Hashem? Very simple. Because as we said many times, a nohar makes noise. Rivers produce lots of noise. When water flows, and we discussed this many times, the byproduct of the movement of water is sound, loud noise. That's why it's a metaphor for a person that gives praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives shvach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a person that is producing sound of shevach to Hashem, and that's what this pasuk here means. Again, according to the Targum, Nosan Haros Hashem, the rivers, they raise their voices in praise of Hashem. Nasu Naharos Kalam, repetition, they raise their voices, Yisu, and ultimately they will receive the rivers, Dochyam, their reward. Again, I have no idea why the word Dochyam, where that word comes from. Why is the word Dochyam mean in Aramaic, mean the agar, the reward of their praise? Okay, then the next pasuk says, Nikoilo Ismaim Rabbi Madir Mishri Madir Bamaram Hashem. Okay, the title over here says, Min kolo demayon sagin mimish shabichayo. Same thing. Okay, which means from the sound of the water, the great waters, the mayin sagin means the great waters, from their sound, comes, he writes, mimish shabichayo. Let me read the translation. The word mimish shabechaya, he's translating here as adirim. Yeah, adirim. It's mighty. Okay, I thought it would be like shevach, praise, right? But it's not. It means over here, the word, maybe that's what it means. But over here in the translation, it doesn't say that. Let's see. Then tivireyamo. Okay, the mishpre, the word sivireyama is the translation of the word the mishpreyam. Okay, the mishpreyam means, I guess, the waves of the sea. Rabba, and he says over here mishpreyam. He calls it. I think adirim is the word rabba. So it says the praise. That's exactly what it says. The translation over here, I think, and for some reason, the translation over here is left out some words.
Yama rabbis from
Mayama. Right. Mikoilois, okay, I'm sorry. So the Mayim Rab is the word Rabba, you're right. So it's right. Mikoilois, no, because you see, he says here two words. He says here the word Sagi'in, and then he says the word over here, Yama Rabba. Okay, let's read one more word. Mishabach Bishmei Miroimada Hashem gives off praise. Mishabach gives praise.
The adir is again the praise.
Pray, right. Okay, I'm just getting confused here because the translation over here, for some reason, is I don't know what happened over here in the translation. It seems like he's not being consistent. It seems that the words, let's assume that the word mishabach means the praise. Bishmei miroim ad Hashem.
Mishabach is going against adir.
Right, so it seems that he's translating the word adir to mean praise, to give praise. That's what it seems to be saying over here. And this is a continuation of previous... praise. Who is the most...
It's
an expression of praise.
Not in comparison Hashem to lowest voices or whatever. Everybody mishabach et Hashem.
Gives praise to Hashem.
The Neharot and the Goyim and the whoever.
Correct. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nihyeh bidvaroi.
Amen.
So in other words, this Pasuk Dalet is continuing in the theme of Pasuk Gimel, which is that the rivers are our Shliach Tzibur. They are giving out expressions of praise to Hashem. The word Adirim, as Rav Kalman said, I'm assuming now, is an expression of praise. It is not a description of the waters. Until now, we learned in Rashi and the Mitzudos is that the word Adirim is describing the waters. The waters are mighty, powerful waters. It's also interesting that in Shira Sayam, Tzolu Kaferis B'mayim, Kama Adirim. There also, the word Adirim is not going on the waters. It's going on the Egyptians. That's why you have to pause. The Baal Kriya is supposed to pause when you say this every day. Shira Sayam, Kafu Sehamos. Kafusimos belevyam mayim. It congealed in the heart of the yam, the water. So we are tempted to say kafusimos belevyam mayim adirim. The mighty waters congealed smack in the middle of the yam. But Rashi says that's not the way you read the pasuk. Kafusimos. Kavu Samos Belevyam Mayim, period. The water congealed in the center of the Yam, and what happened? Adirim, the mighty Egyptians, the word Adirim is referring to the Egyptians. The mighty, arrogant Egyptians were obliterated. The word Adirim is not always an adjective. It's not always describing the nature of the yam. Until we learned for the last 2 days, Rashi and the Mitzudas, we learned that the word Adirim, and the word Adirim is a description over here, Mikoilois, more so than their sound, Hashem is greater than the sound of the Mayim Rabim Adirim, the mighty, the great and mighty waters that smash Mishpirayam, that create destructive waves. That's how we learned until now. So the word Adirim was an adjective defining the Mayim. The Mayim is not just Rabim, it's not just abundant, it's also mightyful. No, that's not what it means over here. It means over here, Adirim, the koilois of the Mayim Rabim, Adirim, give forth praise. The word Adirim is an expression of praise. That's what it seems. Min kolo, look at the game of the Targum, from the sound, kolon, the sound, of the mayin sagi'in, that is, sagi means very much, mimishabechaya, that gives forth shevach. The word mimishabechaya, I'm assuming, means praise. It gives forth praise, sevire yama rabba. Likewise, the next expression is the sevire, the waves of the Yamarabah. Likewise, mishabach, adir, give mishabach, give off expressions of praise, bishmei miroima da Hashem, in the heaven, in the high heavens of Hashem.
So it seems that adir b'marom Hashem, the water are talking.
Right, yes. The koilois, the mem is not like Rashi explained that Hashem is even greater than the roar and the power of the wicked people. No, we are here, according to the Targum, when you see the Malbim says the same thing, the Malbim picks up on this Targum, the Malbim learns the whole Pasuk as a reference. We're not discussing here wicked people. We are doing nothing more here than singing the praises of Hashem. And the Nohar is a metaphor for those people who raise their voice and sing Hashem's praises. They give forth words, eloquent song of Hashem's praise, and the word adir, it appears, is translated as praise. And here we are saying that the mayim rabim adirim, the mighty waters, praise, give forth words of praise to Hashem. And likewise, the mishbirayam, the powerful waves of the sea, adir, give forth words of praise to Hashem, who is bamorom Hashem. to Hashem. A whole new interpretation. These two psukim are describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praise, and thus the translation of the word adir means to give of praise. In the previous verse, the Pasuk Gimel, it did not say the word praise in the Pasuk. There is no word adir, there is no word shira, there is no word shavach, yet the Targum embellishes the translation of the Pasuk. In the previous Pasuk, it's Zagifin Nahar Vosa Hashem, Zikifin Nahar Vosa Kolhoin Bishirta, in song. They raise up their voices in song to Hashem. And then the biggest chiddush was the end of the pasuk, and Yisu Nahar Ostachyam, and they will receive their reward. They will receive agar, reward for Shiva Chehoin, for their praise of Hashem. And again, now Pasuk Dalet poetically repeats this concept, and here it's just even more explicit, where it says the word adir, and the word adir means to give praise. Okay, now the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, "Eloisecha ne'emlu me'od leveischa no ava kodesh Hashem le'rechem." So we already learned many perushim, and now the Targum is going to say his own chiddush. So it says, "Eloisecha," he teaches sehid vosach, which means your testimony, kashitin lechada. Okay, that symbol means it's true. It's nemlu means ms. The word emuna is synonymous with the word ms. Ms and emuna are the same. Le Lachada means very much. Leves makdishoch yoin. Now it says yoin is beautiful. So notice that Rashi has gone up against the Targum. Rashi made a big fuss yesterday, and he cited psukim to prove his point. And we learned the Sivzei Zakenim that the word Nova does not mean beauty. The word Nova means an abode. It means an abode, because if it was really beauty, then it would say Nova. It would be a komatz, not. Okay, I just noticed something right now. Okay, I just realized this right now. We're using the art scroll, and the art scroll, what does it say? It says na ava, with the patach, correct? Here in this edition, okay, this edition, which is a very good edition, it says no ava. No ava. Okay, the Aleph, according to all, is a Chatav Patach. But what is the Nun? Is the Nun No Ava, or is it Na Ava? So, in fact, that was what the Sifsei Chachamim wondered at the very end. How come Rashi did not mention that it's Na Ava? You know why? Because I guess it appears there's another Girsa that says it's No Ava. Everywhere, the whole Rashi made a whole big point in telling us is that this word, there are at least five times that this word appears. Four of them, it says Nova. And here, it would appear that according to Rashi's Girsa, it's Nova. The only difference is the Aleph, but the Nun is also a Komatz. And then over here, we said it doesn't make sense. Once already the Aleph is a Chatav Patach, that would demand, according to the laws of grammar, that the Nun also be a Patach. It should be Na Avo. And indeed, in the art scroll edition, it says Na Avo. But I just discovered this moment, not even realizing that in this edition, it says No Avo. And that would explain why Rashi didn't mention it. Interesting over here. Okay, but the point over here is the Targum obviously learns not like Rashi. He learns like the Mitzudas David that No Ava is beauty, a beautiful holiness, which we discussed yesterday is a tremendous chiddush. Kodesh does not need any compliments. Someone that is the makor of compliments doesn't need someone to elevate it. So it says over here, Na'ava Kodesh. Over here, the Targum says that it is a Edosecha Sehid Vosach Kishiti Lechado Leves Makdishoch Yoin. Your base Hamigdash is beautiful. Vikadishin and is holy. Hashem Le'oirichus Yoimin. Arichus Yoimin doesn't really explain. If we're waiting, it's not really clear according to the Targum if this means that we're yearning. It's mitzapeh, We're yearning for a very long time for Mashiach to come, or does it mean is that when the Beis Hamikdash will be built, it will remain, it will endure forever for Arichas Yamim? Okay, so that is the Targum. So bottom line, we have now. Let's just very quickly look over here at the Malbim, because the Malbim over here is really saying the same thing as the Targum. We're not going to do the entire Malbim. Well, that's possibly what it would have depended. That's possibly the point of disagreement between Rashi and Unkelus. Normally, this word
says not
with the comments. Which edition is this? What?
This edition.
Is that an article?
So, no, it's
a pick an article. Let's see
what article.
Asari Tehillim.
Look up Kabbalah Shabbat. See what he says.
This is. Are you looking at the Siddur? Right. Look at the Siddur. Interesting rule here. Look at the Siddur. Look at the regular Siddur. Article Siddur. There's no dash. That's an art scroll?
There's no dash.
There's no makif. Interesting. There's no makif.
Between
the Na'avo and the Kodesh. And there it says Na'avo?
Na'avo.
No, the Komatz.
Na'avo. So this is the only one that says not.
Every word in the Siddur have multiple meanings.
Absolutely.
This is more correct.
Absolutely.
Because the kamatz is the pest, like we had before. Naseu na'od. Naseu.
They say it's translating like Rashi.
And then
it's more enlightening. God understands what I'm saying.
A dwelling.
Intentions are for what you want to do.
When there's a patach,
you hear what you want to hear.
Because
I don't know what I'm saying.
That's what he said.
Oh, it's no'av.
It's a different.
Yoed. It's beauty. So there are different. Listen, I am Parim L'Torah. Over here, there appears to be a difference in the girsa, and it can very well be that this difference is it no. Everyone agrees that the aleph is a patach. Okay, that's very clear. The question here is the nun a komatz or a patach? It seems that is a very powerful difference. Is this word mean beauty, or does this word mean a dwelling? Rashi here makes a big deal about this, that it means a dwelling, and he says that the aleph is the patach, and Rashi makes no mention about the nun. And we learned yesterday, we just browsed over this last part, and the Siv says the Kain, he writes over here, the hatema. The last line of the Sifsei Zekeinim in Ois Alpha, Hatema, Shelo Hiskiroi, go back one more line in the parentheses, Uve Svarim Shelofoneinu, Hanun Bepatach. The Nun is Nah, the Nun. After he discusses the Aleph, he spends the whole thing discussing the letter Aleph. What about the letter Nun? Is it Nah Ava or is it No Ava?
No, I just want to be curious.
There's no Hashkafa, whatever
you approach that.
How do you approach that?
I mean,
however you want.
Feel when you speak to your boss, your supervisor, you're not having different meanings. You're very focused and you're very...
A human being, we all know that the way we deal with... You listen to someone on the telephone. I was watching a guy on the telephone. He was making 10 telephone calls, wishing people good Shabbos. Okay, he was sitting over in the room there. He was calling 10 people, to wish them Erev Shabbos, good Shabbos. To wish, like, all different people. It sounded like some of his family members and some friends and some... Every single person he calls up within the span of 5 minutes, his tone, his inflection, his attitude is completely different. One guy calls up, his whole joke, oh, good Shabbos, yeah, how much are you going to eat the Shabbos? Like, all joke. Good. Then when he calls up his father, he spoke with reverence. Then the next one, he called up this guy who was somewhere in Richmond. Then he called up a woman. And like, you know, he was very proper, very... And then he spoke to one of his kids. Within five minutes, his tone of voice, his frame of mind, his language, his poise was completely different within a span of 5 minutes, 10 different phone calls. When you talk to a person, that's natural, because every single person, you have a unique relationship. There's a chemistry that goes between two people, and the way you speak to another person all is based on your... So you talk to your boss, and you use language. There's only... You talk to the boss the way you understand. The Ribbono Shel Olam is infinite. He is infinite. Hashem customizes himself to every single person in this world. And every single person in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, customizes himself to relate to them and different tekufas of their life. And every single day a person can be in a different matzav, and Hashem has it all. So you can, when you dive into Hashem, every day you can have a different interpretation of what you're saying to him.
So what we're saying is, when I dive in, it's, am I thinking, is it Nava? Am I thinking Yofi or Dira? Or do I say, God, this one can mean either way, you know what I mean?
No, so I don't think that's proper. Monday and Thursday, it means a dwelling. Sunday and Tuesday, it means beauty. And the other days of the week...
That goes back to the question, what did I mean when I said that word? So do I say, I don't know what the meaning is, it could mean either one, they're telling me to say this word. So God, you know what I mean.
I don't think that's a proper approach. You take one mahalach and you stick with it. And if you want to change at some point in time in your life, you change. Every pasuk, every word of Shemona Esrei, every word of davening has many, many layers, many possibilities, many interpretations, many layers of interpretation, and depending upon your frame of mind on that day, on that tekufa of your life, and what your needs are, you are permitted, you are encouraged to speak to Hashem with a kavana that you are comfortable with based upon the situation. And the way you understand the words of Shemona Esrei today, maybe tomorrow you'll have a different approach, a different understanding. Maybe even by Mincha, maybe you'll go through cycles. Look, classic example. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What is the translation of those words? So there are two very different, they're two very basic and completely different translations. One translation is Hashem who is Elokeinu. Today, you are only our God. The goyim, the Gentiles, don't recognize. The day will come when Hashem will be echad, will be recognized throughout the entire world. And then there's another interpretation, is that Hashem Elokeinu, that even though there is Hashem, there is Yud Kei Vav Kei, Rachamim, and sometimes Hashem shows us mercy, Elokeinu, and other times Hashem is very tough, Midas Hadin, Hashem Echad. It all comes from the same place. Hashem is multifaceted, multidimensional. Hashem Echad. There's two completely different interpretations. And in fact, some want to say is that's the chilik between Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis, Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Kriya Shema Shel, there's the Yichud Hashem. The Yichud Hashem, and then there is the Talmud Torah. There are two dinim in Kriya Shema. The din of Kriya Shema of Talmud Torah, and the din of Kriya Shema of the Yichud Hashem, the Yichudo Yishmo. At night is a time of the Yichud at darkness, Emuna. Hashem Elokeinu, sometimes there's Rachmim, sometimes there's Din. Is the Laila, is the Zman of the Yichud. Shachris is Talmud Torah. Rashi in Chumash says, Hashem Elokeinu, Rashi is telling you the Taitra of the Pasuk, Midin Talmud Torah. Within Talmud Torah, Hashem was only recognized as God by us today, who's Elokeinu, our God. The Goyim, they don't know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they don't know what's going on. The day will come, Hashem Echad. There are two different basic, simple translations. So which one is it? Does a person in his mind have the ability, when he says Kriya Shema, to encompass both? Maybe. Some people maybe not. Some people, it's hard enough even to think about the translation of the words. So am I obligated to have multiple translations? Absolutely not. For today, just stick to one, and that's enough. Tomorrow, maybe try something different. Ayin panim l'toira, elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Yeah?
But it's not proper to just say, God, you know what I mean?
No, I don't think so. That's a cop-out.
No, but we have that in other situations where we have, whether it's true misamaisis, I could say that word. It says in the Siddur, that's what it is, and this is my...
The nusach of the chazoinish. Of the chazoinish.
Whatever
it is. That's not, you're not speaking to Hashem. there, by the way, you're not. Mm-hmm. That's not so. There, you're not speaking to Hashem. You're doing mafresh trumas ma'ishos. You're doing a halachic transaction. So listen. When you install software or you lease a car, do you ever read what it says? If you lease a car, they give you literally a book, and you have to sign in 10 places. Is there even one person who reads every word of what you sign on?
You lied as soon as you said I read the agreement.
And then when you install a piece of software on your computer, click, 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 click. Is there even one person in humanity that read? Look, when Congress passed, they always say this. When Congress, they pass a law. So some of the budget. So the budget is literally a book this thick. And they say, okay, here's the budget, we're voting on it tomorrow. It is humanly impossible from the time that they release the budget, the documents, to the time that they vote, humanly impossible for any person to read the entire thing. And no one reads anything.
Read it tomorrow,
it's not even humanly possible. The Guinness Book of World Records. You would break the Guinness Book of World Records if you would read it. And especially some politicians don't even know how to read.
I whenever you have a chataf batach, klal b'tikduk. Whenever you have chataf batach, it should have been a shva, not
correct.
Not anything
correct.
Else.
Correct.
However, because there is an ayin, it cannot be. Ayin doesn't get a shva, so you get b'tnuat ha-chataf. The previous tnua comes here too, with chataf. And I see in this page it happens again later on. Ad matay reshaim yap alozu. You have patach and chataf patach. It should have been shva, ya lozu, but it's very difficult to pronounce.
Okay.
So that's why we say ya alozu. And the same thing here, na ava. The same thing. It should be with the shva. So
you're saying that a chata patach demands that the letter before be a patach.
So it had
it has to be a patach.
Therefore, you have a patach before, like ya'alozu and na'ava, and that's it. That's the rule in dikduk.
Okay, so that's a raya that it has to be na'ava. Yet over here in the sidurim, it's no'ava. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. That's a difficulty. All right, Rabbi Yisrael, let's leave it with that. Okay, so this is about to elaborate upon this idea. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael. Please, let's elaborate upon this idea. Looking at the Malbim. Okay, the Malbim, look at the Malbim. The Malbim over here, there's a little bit of the Malbim. The Malbim over here is basically working with the Targum. Again, we learned already, spent 2 days on this, and both Rashi and the Mitzudois pretty much say the same idea, the general idea. The word Nohar is a metaphor for Rishoim. The Targum's no such thing. The Nohar is a metaphor for the whole world, for people who, for every creature of Hashem who sings Hashem's praises. Why is a river? I guess a river is brach, it flows, mayim. Mayim always represents blessing. It flows, it's a sign of health.
It's a light. Nahara, it's a light.
A Nahar is light.
It's light in the
Aramaic. Or, okay. And also, as we said, it makes noise. That's one of the main ideas, is that Nohar, Baruch Hashem, Safta made it here to the Shir. Okay, so we have over here Nohar. Nohar means, it means also, it makes noise. It makes noise, and when a person sings Hashem's praises, there is a choir, there is sound of praise to Hashem. And that idea is adapted by the Malbim. Look at Pasuk just a little bit, but we'll just jump around in the Malbim. Pasuk Gimel Nasu Nares Hashem Ritzenu Leimar Hanaharois Nasu Koilam Leimar. The rivers raise their voice, saying, Nochoin Kis Acha Meoz Meoilam Ota Hanaharois Heim Midabrim Ze. Who's speaking? The rivers are speaking. Umeidim, it is the rivers that are saying testimony. See, now over here, you see, this triggers a whole new idea. Is that when it says Eidoi Secha, it does not mean your prophets. According to Rashi and the Mitzudois, that the rivers are the Rishoim. So now, after we have two psukim describing the wicked people, along comes Pasuk Hey and says, don't worry about the wicked people. We have prophets. And the prophets have told us that the wicked people will be eliminated. They will be obliterated off the face of the earth, and Hashem's Beis HaMikdash will be built, and Hashem's divine presence will appear on this world. So that we need the Edei Secha of the prophets to counteract the noise of the empty cans, which are the Naharos. But according to the Targum, that says that the Naharos are not the evil people, the Naharos are the society that is singing Hashem's praises. So then when it says Edoi Secha is the testimony, the words of the rivers, of the rivers. The rivers are speaking, and the rivers are giving off words of praise to Hashem. And they are saying that they're faithful. What they say, you can trust what they say, because they are telling us that the Beis HaMikdash will be built. Now, I think there's a very beautiful metaphor here. Before we go further, read the words of the Malamud, that is the water cycle. Okay, go back to your high school or college days, the water cycle. Water is a machlokes in the Gemara. Where does water come from? Machlokes in the Gemara. Now, obviously, machlokes in the Gemara is not to be taken literally. Okay, one opinion says that whenever it rains, it's fresh water. In Shamayim, there's an opening between this world and some other world, and it's a new creation. New water comes into this world. That's what it says in one opinion. The other thing is science, and that is every molecule of water in this world goes nowhere. It's just a cycle. It comes down to the earth, it rains, and the moisture is in the earth, and then the sun comes out, it evaporates. And where does it go? It goes back up to Shemayim. And then it condenses in the clouds and comes back down. It is a continuous cycle again and again, Choyzer Chalila. Therefore, and what are the rivers? The rivers basically is the part of that cycle. Because it comes down, let's say, as snow on the mountains, and then it melts and it turns into the river, and it comes down the river and it empties out into the oceans, or it empties out into the fields, wherever it empties out onto, and then Nochamol, it evaporates, goes back to Shemayim. If there is anyone that can say Eidus, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is good to his word, will one day rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, it is the water. Because the water experienced the cycles of life. Okay, people who are, what is the Maila of old age? What is the Maila of Zikna? I've been there, I've seen it all. You see a situation, you have a young boy in yeshiva, you have a high school, young boys, and the boy has a crisis. He has a meltdown. He throws a tantrum. Every possible situation, he has a medical issue. Okay? So a new Rebbe who's 30 years old just got his job yesterday. Oh no, this kid, he went crazy. He acted out. What's going to be? And you don't know what to do. You're terrorized. You're frightened. I'm responsible. This. What are you going to do? The kid over doesn't want to daven, doesn't want to learn. This. How do you deal with this? I'm afraid this kid's going to become an oisvarf. He's going to go marry a shiksa. What's going to be? A Rebbe that's 70 years old, I've been doing this for 50 years, whatever it is. I have talmidim who are even worse than this. And now they're Rosh Yeshiva. Now the big askanim. Now the choshva people. I know how it goes. I know the cycle. I've been there, done it, seen it, I've seen it all. If there's any item in this world that's gone through cycles, it's water. Water, I mean, everything in this world is a cycle. But water is a cycle, something which we can sense, we can appreciate, we can see the cycle. When you see the water flowing down the river, I'll see you again next year. You think that we always assume the water that passes, wow, you look at that molecule of water, you'll never see it again, right? It's passing down. Here it goes. The water is going down the river. Goodbye. I'll never see you again because it's going downstream. No. That same molecule of water, I mean, obviously I'm exaggerating a little bit. I'll see you next year. because you're going down, and you're going to go down miles and miles and miles, and you're going to the ocean. Don't worry, there'll be a hot day tomorrow. The weather forecast is 100 degrees tomorrow. Where you going? You're going down to the Sahara Desert. It's going to be 100 degrees there tomorrow. You know what's going to happen to you, the water? You're going to evaporate, and you're going to go up into Shemayim. And then you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a wind that's going to blow. It may take some time to go around the world. And then eventually you'll come back down on some mountain, who knows where. And then it'll be ice and snow. The sun will come out. You'll melt. And I'll see you next year in this exact same spot.
I just heard some astrologists trying to say, what controls the water levels of the world? Tides. It's the moon. The moon makes high tide, low tide, back and forth. The theory was that, what's a human made of?
70, 80% water.
Water. And what she was saying was that with the change of the moon, at different times in a month, your tide goes up.
Fascinating. Fascinating. We're affected by the moon. The gravitational pull of the moon is affecting a human being.
The point that she was really trying to make, unfortunately, was that there's going to be this lunar eclipse and how it's going to affect everybody.
So it's interesting with the solar eclipse.
There's a solar eclipse. You could have
the world is coming to the end.
But the concept that it's
true.
A person has a high tide, low tide.
100%. 100%. 100%. You don't.
It's not totally stupid the way you
look.
100%. The moon has an incredible magnetic pull, and being that a human being is made up of about 80% water, just like the rivers,
we are affected.
We are, and it affects our minds. It affects everything. I mean, it's not even yet begun to be the touch the surface of trying to understand how all this like the smartphones, okay, all the radiation in the ear. Do you know how many signals are in the ear? Do you know what I mean? The person has voltage running through his body. Every person is this. You're supposed to have approximately 5 volts, between 2 and 5 volts of electricity. You need to operate your body. Your body produces. When you have interference, when you sit in front of the computer. So I do a test in front of the computer. You sit over here. There are 7 volts of electricity going through my body. That's not healthy.
You have every electrified.
That's not healthy. If you go the way God made men, you go to a desert island where there's no cell phone reception, and you sit on a desert island, there's about 2.5 volts going through your body. So if now there's more than double that, I'm sitting here in front of this computer, and it's giving off, and the smartphone is right in front of my head, and there's about 7 volts of electricity, there's something not right about that. That's double interference. This interference, the mind is communicating with the body. This part of the body is damaged. It needs to be healed. This part of the body needs this. This needs this. The mind is controlling. And how is it controlling? Through signals, electrical signals. So if you put your head into a microwave oven, the electrical signals are not, it's not going to work well. So you'll say just a mashu, sheba mashu, sheba mashu, big deal. Halavai. There's nothing you can do about it anyway. Okay? There's nothing you can do about it anyway. So it doesn't pay to think about this. But you know, halavai, it shouldn't be an issue, but you begin to wonder, just like what you just said right now, is that during full moon, when the moon is betokfai, Chazal told us, when do we celebrate our holidays? We celebrate our holidays on the 15th day of the month, Pesach and Sukkot. And what about Rosh Hashanah? Bakesel Yom Chagein, we're at a low point. The moon, there's no moon, there's no gravitational pull. We are closest to the earth. Adam is Ofar Mincho Adama. The Briyas HaAdam took place on a day when there's no moon. There's no gravitational pull. It's Ofar Mincho Adama. We're the closest to the earth possible. These are all very mystical things. And maybe one day there'll be more understanding of how all of these amazing things work. Maybe they can use all this stuff for the good instead of using it for the bad. Maybe there's a technique to transform this to help us. All right, but over here.
By the way, in the morning we say, Hallelujah, Kitov Zamera Elokeinu, Kinaim Nava Tehila. And there is a Kamatz and nothing under the Aleph.
No, so that means beauty. That means for sure means beauty.
That's definitely
beauty. That's what we learned yesterday.
Yeah. That was one of the four cases.
That's one of the four cases. Nova, without the, the Aleph is Nocha, there's nothing under the Aleph, and Nun is Nun. That's the four classic examples. That's where it starts from. There, it for sure means beauty. The question is, when it says Na'ava or No'ava, does that mean beauty or does that mean a dwelling? Now, going back over here to this interpretation of the Mitzvah, the Malbim. The Malbim learns that we're dealing over here with the Eidos is the testimony of the waters. The waters are speaking. They're producing sound. Okay, the Taka are very scared. Niagara Falls, they're scared of the solar eclipse. What effect will the solar eclipse have on Niagara Falls? I don't know. Everyone is meshuggah today. If you go read these crazy Telegram channels, it sounds like the world is mamish coming to an end. It's driving me. Yeah, I gotta stop looking at this type of stuff. Crazy meshuggahim out there. This happens all the time. Big deal. What's the big deal, right? It takes how long is it? For a couple of seconds? How long does it go for?
2 minutes.
2 minutes? But a few minutes? Okay, and whatever it is. In any event, we should maybe learn some halacha. The Gemara talks about when the shemesh is locha, it's not a good sign. For the umayis ha'olam. But you know, there's a rule. You know, what does that mean now for the umayis ha'olam? Okay, I don't want to digress, but I have a worthless opinion in politics. And my worthless opinion in American politics is, it doesn't matter if a candidate, whether it's a governor, whether it's a mayor, whether it's a presidential candidate, this is my worthless opinion, just to illustrate what you're talking about, the solar eclipse. My worthless opinion is, if the candidate is good for the country, it's automatically good for the Jews. America is a different type of country. Don't look at a candidate if they're an Oyev Yisrael, if they're a Soinei Yisrael. It doesn't make a difference. If it's just a trickle-down effect. If you have a candidate that is good, you believe he's good for the country of America, that America is strong, powerful, successful, even if the candidate is a Soinei Yisrael, doesn't matter. If it's good for the country of America, nimela, it's going to be good for Klal Yisrael.
Only cares about their economy and their safety. And if all that is going good,
nimela,
they don't bother us.
Nimela, it's good. To go say, oh, is he an Oyev Yisrael? It's a very, in my opinion, a very naive, close-minded way to look at politics. You look, is he an Oyev Yisrael? Is he a Soinei Yisrael? You look for a candidate that's good for the country. So why am I telling you that? Because Chazal say that when the Shemesh is loko, it's a bad sign for the Umay Sa'ilam. Now when we're in Golos, I don't know what this means. Does this mean, oh, it's bad for them, but it's good for us? Is that the Pshat in the Gemara? It's bad for the Goyim. And if it's bad for the Goyim, automatically this is parallel. Zeh l'umazeh. If it's bad for them, it's good for us. Is that the Pshat? Is that Taka the Pshat? Or does it mean, if it's bad for them, it automatically, when they're not happy and they got problems, who do they take it out on? They take it out on us. Okay? When the Goyim don't have jobs and their economy is no good, so who's the scapegoat?
If it's a lush and saggy, no. They say you must oil them, they really mean us.
No. The moon is
bad. It's bad for the woman.
So what does it mean? It's who cares? Who cares? It's bad for the Goyim. It's not okay to us. Is that correct? If it's not good for them, it could very well be that it's a trickle-down effect. It's not good for us. You want to be very very close-minded and say, oh, who cares about the Goyim, we live in a little ghetto over here and we have nothing to do with them. I don't know, it doesn't sit well with me. If it's not good for them, I don't think it's good for us either. At least when we're in Golos. We're not independent today. Today we are subject to their goodwill. In America, a Jew living in America, 100% you're subject to their goodwill. In Eretz Yisrael, you see your own eyes, and every move they make in Eretz Yisrael, what will America say? America, 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 America's paying the bills. What is America? The mamish a pachat, it's sita from America. If it's not good for them, it's not good for us. So we have to be very, very careful. Golus, we're in Golus, we're very vulnerable, and we have to be very sensitive to these things. It's beautiful what he says over here, the Malbum, the third line here in Pasuk Gimel, Hanohorois Haim Medabrim Zeh. The rivers are speaking. Umi'idim. It is the rivers that are giving off testimony. We've seen it all. We've gone through the rivers, they travel. They're travelers. Rivers travel for hundreds of miles. They travel all over the world. You know, the rain cycle, the water cycle can take, can you trace a molecule of water? Maybe one day, they'll be able to track the molecules of water. Today they can track birds. We all know this. You take a tracker, a GPS tracker, they take birds and they put these teeny microscopic trackers on birds and they watch them fly for thousands of miles. They do this with dolphins and fish. They put trackers on fish and they travel the world. All else, Dover Nifla. So could you imagine when the day will come where they'll be able to track a molecule, H2O, you take one specific molecule and watch it evaporate, theoretically, watch it evaporate, go into the clouds, see where it condenses and comes down in some other part of the world, and this has been going on since my Sibiratius. They travel the world. Today is the yard is the what? Is the anniversary. Creation. What's today's Hebrew date? Chafhei, today's Chafhei? So that's Chafhei, Chavav, Chav Zayin, Chav Ches, Chav Tes, Aleph Tishrei. Today is the Maaseh Bereishis. Today is the day, it's Machlokes in the Gemara. Machlokes in the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. According to Rabbi Yoshua, the world was created in Chodesh Nisan, which means Adam HaRishon was created Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The sixth day of creation was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So when was the first day of creation? Bereshis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es haaretz ha'yetzer sovo vayomer Elokim yihi or today. Quite a day. Today is vayomer Elokim yihi or. Lefi the shita of Rabbi, lefi the shita. And that's how we paskin. What's the raya? Birchas hachama. Why is Birchas hachama always in Nisan? Because we paskin like Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, how many years ago was the last Birchas hachama? Like 15 years ago approximately, a little less. What? About what? 14 years ago was Birchas hachama in Nisan, Erev Pesach. Why Nisan? Because we paskin that the world was created in Nisan. And that's and every 28 years the sun is located in the same location as it was at the time of Maaseh Bereishis. So we make a bracha. Oysa Maaseh Bereishis. Oh, Rosh Hashanah. Hayoyim hara asaylam. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. But that means today is a very holy day. Today is Maaseh Bereishis. What does that mean exactly? I don't know, because Maaseh Bereishis is not a simple thing. What does it mean exactly? Go look at all these science books. Science. Hul, the best thing I ever saw about this, you got to read it, is Alexander Hul. Alexander Hul has unbelievable stuff. And even if you don't agree with it, it's kedai to see how he describes the science behind Maaseh Bereishis based upon everything that we know today. It's fascinating, fascinating stuff. It's the second day, what? It's the second, the third day, the third day. Moshe put up the Mishkan, it was, I think it was the third day. 23, 24, 25. Today's the third day of Moshe Rabbeinu putting up the Mishkan. All right, so there's a lot going on, and especially a solar eclipse on the way. Gershon who? Who is he?
He was
the brother-in-law. Oh, that was what I didn't like him. That was the one that was the misnagid. He couldn't stand him. Yeah? Yeah, that was the one? Rav Hashem's brother-in-law thought he was an Am Haaretz. He had tainus on him. Why would you marry this guy? He doesn't even know the Aleph Beis. His brother-in-law. Is that the one?
No, he didn't. He's the one who made the Shira.
Then there's someone that the Baal Shem is a very bizarre story.
Shem Tov's first wife died young.
Yeah.
And he was telling the shul, the Bashatov, and the Gershon people that came over and said, there's a passage for a young guy to sit.
Is that a house? Yeah.
I have a sister.
Yeah.
Who's divorced, but who's a good sinner for you. She has a kid, but that's all right.
And he married her.
Bashatov married his second wife with a kid who officially was adopted.
They all said the Baal Shem will come today and will look at Hasidim, he would say, this is not what I had in mind. They all say that. He's not the real founder of modern day Hasidus. It's his Talmidim. He was a completely different. You have to read the history. It's fascinating. The history of Baal Shem is just unbelievable. Okay. Let's go weiter. Umeidim, when do we have to do some biographies of the Gedolim? Get a third line. Me'idim man. The third line over here in the album. Me'idim shehashem manigetz hateva shukisay me'os. The waters say testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the manig of the bria. V'gam shemanig ha'anhoga hashkochiyos k'moy shekosov la'ashem. Okay, let's skip down. Okay, that's the basic yisoid. The basic yisoid of the album is what it says in the Targum is the water is not, the rivers are not a metaphor for the wicked. The waters are a metaphor for people who sing Hashem's praises, and they are the ones that are saying Eidos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rebuild the base of this. We'll jump down to Pasuk Dalet now. Mikoylois Mayim Rabim Adidim Mishvar Yom. According to the Targum, what does this mean? It means from the Koylois of the Mayim Rabim, which praise. The word Adirim is a verb. And that's not an adjective. It's a verb. It's the great waters that are singing Hashem's praises. The Hayam over here, the Malbum says pretty much the same idea. The Hayam, the Yam, Umeimov, Umishbarov. Now over here, as an aside, he tells us an amazing thing. The Mishbarov, we learned until now multiple times, means the waves. He says, no, that's not what the Mishbarov. The Mishbar means the seashore. The seashore, which is the stop, is the cause of the waves coming to an end. Because there is a seashore, the waves can't continue. So they serve as a break, as an impediment. It breaks the earth. The earth breaks the water. The water would like to continue going further and further. But all of a sudden, it comes up against ground that's higher. So the earth breaks the koyach of the water. So it's not the water that's called. Until now, we have been learning the word mishbirayah means waters that are destructive. Where do we find, at what point are waters destructive? When the water crashes. When do waters crash? Waves. The waves of the water are a destructive force. So the word mishperei was modifying the yam. The Malbim says, no, that's not what it means. It is the earth, the solid, dry land, that is called the mishperei yam. It is what breaks the yam. Not the destructive wave, but the earth that serves as an impediment, as a blockade to the yam. A buffer to the yam. That is what is called the Mishri. Hainu mokam sheyishavu gale hayam bal ya'avru chukam ubal yishtifu es hayabosh. They can no longer pass. Kemosha kosov asher samti chol gvul layom. I set the sand as a boundary to the yam. Chokolom velo ya'av renu. It will not pass. Heim yitmu koilam. So over here it says that yitnu koilam. Over here he learns exactly what it says over here. They will give forth their voice. Lemar ki adir b'amarom Hashem, shahashem hu adir b'amarom umanig es mareches hashamayim v'ateva haklo hake lo lis lefi ritzon v'chulam nichnoim lefanav. Basically, he's saying the same idea as the Malbim, is that the waters of the river and of the yam, their movement, their noise, their motion is an expression of praise.
Okay. And he continues on that concept that we were talking about the other day, that Teva HaKlolis is the theme that's so noted. Even the regular one called Teva,
yeah,
is the theme that's so noted.
Right.
And it's every day.
Every day, old time, that line of the album is that a miracle is constant teva, and what we call a miracle is temporary. And teva is a constant nes, and what we call a miracle is temporary teva. He mixed the terms. Okay, miracles and teva, they're both miracles. One is permanent. One is temporary. That was a beautiful expression he had there. Okay. Let's leave it with that. Now let's now go to another idea. And this idea we'd say in honor of Chodesh Ador. Okay, now we are now in the end, 25th day of Chodesh Ador. By the way, how do you spell Ador? Aleph Dalet Resh. Underneath the Aleph, what vowel is there? It's a chat of patach. Ador. Which basically means the Aleph is not really part of the Shoresh, the Dor. But Ador, you basically swallow up the Aleph. Now in Chumash, in the Torah, I believe Chatzitzoin Ador. Where is that pasuk? There's a place. I think it's a Parashas Maaseh, when we describe the Gevulos Haaretz. If I'm not mistaken, when we describe the Gevulos, the boundaries of the land, there's a place called Chatzitzoin Ador. There in the Torah, the Aleph is a regular patach. Chatzitzoin, I don't know what that means, the courtyards, like a courtyard. Chatzitzoin, not necessarily. Ador. Aleph, Dalid, Resh. Same letters, but it's A, you have to pronounce the Aleph. A Balkriya, Ador. We are now holding at the end. A Dogish and Dalid also? Ador. There's a patach and you have to have a dogish in the dalet. Ah, with a dot in the dalet. Ador. Chodesh, Ador. The aleph you have in the Megillah. You say the Megillah. Chodesh, Ador. Now, Ador, what does the word Ador mean? I don't know what it means, but it's probably, they took this from Bavel. It's a Babylonian word. Well, maybe I don't know, it's not a Jewish word. And maybe it refers to Avodah Zarah. All we know, it might refer to some the way the Goyim referred to the months. They used they used Goyisha words. Some of them were based on idolatry. Ador and whatever it is, it has been Judified. Okay, we do that a lot. We take Goyisha things, and somehow we embrace it, and we view in these things, there is a certain hashgacha pratis, there is a certain sanctity, or we've given it sanctity. This is a very controversial topic. It's like, really, well, it's very practical when it comes to singing non-Jewish music. Okay, some of the best melodies that we have are Goyish melodies. We don't even realize it. Okay, I'm not a bucky in this, or Baruch Horowitz, he knows this well. There are many melodies that are very, very popular in the Hasidic world, in the Litvish world, and you don't even realize, you can live your whole life, this is a Goyish melody. This was created by Goyim, and somehow, I guess years ago, we had nothing else to sing, so we took their Goyish melody, what is it? Billy Joel? He has a very nice song. Or what we have adopted? What's the famous one? A minion, the minion man,
piano man,
the piano man. That's his song. Sing me a song, right? And the lyrics have been changed for something very interesting. Somewhere a minion place, and it's beautiful. You live, wow. So what would happen? Go fast forward 100 years. Billy Joel, forget about him. The Goyim move on to their own Mishigasim. But we take this melody and we give it some Jewish lyrics, and all of a sudden you forget where it comes from. Mm-hmm. Okay, so many of the nigun that we sing in shul, for kedusha, for you name it, they mamish come from Goyish sources. Okay, Chaim Berlin Mesiba. Bum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, bum, 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 bum. Almost all the nigunim are Goyish, many of them are non-Jewish nigunim. I show you some 100-piece orchestra in Russia, the mamish single with his slavos. So, Hayitachin, the guy went and he used this thing. Teretz is, there is such a principle of absorbing non-Jewish things into Judaism. There is such a principle. Very great rebbes, very holy people did this. And one of the classic examples is the names of the months. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. And Chazal see in these words holy things. They don't just push it away. They see in these things holy, holy messages. Even though when we trace the root of these things, it doesn't sound so good. Beis Shemesh. Ramat Beis Shemesh Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. What does it mean, Shemesh, Beis Shemesh? It's where they worship the sun. So how come today we're still calling it Beis Shemesh? I don't know. This is very common in Judaism. And the names of the months as well, it takes on some sacred form. Now why am I telling you this? Because of what it says here in the Medrash on the bottom of the page, 847. Mikoylois Mayim Rabim Adirim Mishbirayam Adir Bamram Hashem. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon. Haroitze Sheyiskaimu Nichas. This is a very interesting medrash. I'm not sure I really understand what it says. The Gemara. A person wants Sheyiskaimu Nichasav. A person has a field. And you don't want squatters. Today in America, there's a very big problem. Squatters. Okay? If you go and you leave your house and an illegal immigrant comes into your house, and you come back home and you tell them to leave, they'll put you in jail. Mamish. No exaggeration. Upstate. You need security. Upstate, all the camps, all the bungalow colonies, all the mountains, they're not occupied right now. If these illegal immigrants go up to the Catskills and move into the bungalow colonies, that's it, it's over. There's no more, you can't get rid of them. The law is, this is insanity. And that's what we're living with. And it's done deliberately. Anyone who doesn't see that it's been done deliberately to destroy this country, you're blind to see what's going on over here. Mamish insanity. They move in, you can't get, you go and you tell them to leave, you go to jail. If you tell them to leave. Unreal. So a person says,
someone who was throwing out all the
house,
the video, the person who took it over had the person who owned the house being arrested.
Yeah, I know, it's insanity. So here, the more things change, the more they stay the same. The Gemara Masech, the Beitzah says people suffer from such problems. You want to protect your property from a squatter. What does it say over here? Everybody say. Haroitze sheyiskaimu nichasav. Shelo yigzalu sidaisav. The editor adds, you don't want someone to steal your property. What does it mean, steal? What, it's going to walk away? Someone's going to pick up the land and take it to another planet? It means you don't want a squatter, someone to move in and say, get lost. Yita bohen eder. You know what the solution is? Eder. Okay, a double segol. Eder. Plant an eder. What is an eder? I don't know. It sounds like some exotic tree. Eitz, very exotic shu, eitz chashuv, anoshim yoidim sheyesh bisodeu eder umemela lo umemela misparsem shasode hi shelo. It's an exotic tree. It cost a fortune. So when you pass by and you say, oh, you know, like I know a guy like this. He's no longer alive. Can you tell me, you see that house? He was very into landscaping. Can you tell me, you know, you see that guy's house? Do you know how much the landscaping, those bushes they put in? $5,000. He knew the cost of every single type of bush. He was a mumcha in the shrubbery and in the landscaping. So if you go past by a house and they planted this exotic tree which cost a small fortune, so right away it creates a buzz. You come home from shul, what are you talking about Friday night? The gavir, look at the gavir. I thought this guy was on food stamps. I see. If he could afford.
He is. How do you think he was able to afford?
Very good. You got it. He is. How could he afford it? Excellent. Excellent. You hit the nail on the head. But what do? You create a buzz. Oh, you know who lives in that house?
that fancy tree, right away people start talking, and right away everyone says, oh, he's the Gevir. All of the yeshivas that come down like ants, like flies on dead meat, flies on dead meat for a donation. For a donation. You are mefarsem yourself. I am the balabas. I am the balabas of this house. So now if a squatter comes and he says, and he moves into your house, and you come, he says, what are you doing here, buddy? Get lost. I said, what do you mean? I'm the balabas here. Go ask every single person in this neighborhood who the balabas is. They all know I'm the balabas. How do they all know the balabas? You're a quiet, unassuming, anonymous person. Well, when you plant on your field an exotic tree and you make a statement that I'm a gevir, everyone knows that you're a gevir, and everyone lines up Purim. There are lines around the block coming to collect from you. So you know, so this is a fascinating technique. It's an incredible technique. The way you go and you demonstrate who you are, that this is my property, is you do something exotic. Now, I'll give you the example. I know someone, Rahman Sonny, he had a Down syndrome child. And he asked, it's interesting that this, Rav Meir Shapiro has a different opinion, and he asked the Gadol what to name the child. And the Gadol told him, Rav Dov Feinstein told him to give the child an exotic name that no one has. Don't give him just a regular name, Chaim, Shmuel, Yehuda. Give him an exotic name. No one ever had this name. Because the child needs to stand out. It's difficult. He's in a society that's not created for him. And he needs help. And if he'll just have a regular name, this will be an additional ingredient that, oh, when you hear that name, everyone knows who that person is. So right away, people will come forward to provide assistance, to give love. V'chulu v'chulu, give a child who is at a disadvantage an exotic name. Same thing. You have a piece of property. You're a quiet, unassuming, anonymous person. You're vulnerable. If a squatter comes and goes into your property, you can have a hard time getting him out. But if your name is Chvesnish, is Donald Trump, and you move in, a squatter moves in, what are you doing here? This is not your house. Everyone knows that this house belongs to a Gevir. What are you doing here? Get out of here. So by doing something exotic on your property, it's a technique to prevent other people from trying to illegally take possession of your assets. And what is the name of the tree that will do the job? An Eder. Notice the same letters. Aleph, Dalet, Resh. Adir. Adir, Bamram, Eder. So what is the mitzvah gemara? So what do we do? Shnei yidah abraham eder shu eitz choshev anoshim yodim sheyesh besodeu eder umemele mispar same shasod yishaloi shenema. Where do you find such an idea? So he finds this a very interesting gemara. The gemara himself the basis. It's not an exotic medrash you never heard of before. It's a gemara. Daf Yomi. Adir b'amoroim Hashem, and the editor explains what's the pshat. Harei she eder. The word eder means might, and the name of the tree is called an eder. It demonstrates your might, your power, your chayzek, who you are. Lushon chayzek v'kiyum, an endurance. Ulekach. That's why the tree is called an eder. It's the same letters, adir, eder. And now I want to use this. That's why this month we're holding now the 25th day of the month. It is the anniversary of creation today. It's Chodesh Adar, Aleph Dalid Resh, because this month is a sign to the nations of the world who we are, that we are Hashem's chosen people.
That's right. You have a Din Torah.
Go in Adar, Chazak. Because the miracle of Chodesh Adar is a miracle that even the Goyim can relate to. The only place that it says, V'rabim me'amei ha'aretz misyahadim, ki nafal pachad ha'yehudim aleihem, it doesn't say that about Mitzrayim. You'll say there was the Erev Rav. Maybe to a degree there was an Erev Rav. Who were the Erev Rav? The mixed multitude. What does that mean? It means some say they were Gerim. Gerim, Girudin, they were Goyim, Egyptians that were impressed with what happened. Okay, maybe. But the Erev Rav did not turn out well. the Erev Rav was the Ribbono Shel Olam, which really did not, according to Chazal, was not pleased with Moshe, who accepted them, and they were the source of all of our problems. Why? Why did they convert? Why did the Erev Rav convert? Because they saw open miracles. That's not a way to convert. You don't want to take... What?
Yisro
converted. Ato yodati ki gadol Hashem yikolim ki ba davar asher zodu alehem. Mida keneged mida. It was just because, wow, God can do this. Kriyas Yamsuf. Look, Kriya. Hashem can do miracles. Okay? Miracles. I think there's something deeper. Yisro had something deeper to him. It was a revelation of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Right, he studied other religions. He was something different. But when a person converts because, wow, we're impressed. Look at that. Look at God's miracles. It didn't turn out well. The Erev Rav was the one, Chazal say over and over, the ones who made the Egel Hazav. It's true, Klal Yisrael was blamed because they did not protest. There's no question that everyone is guilty. But they're the ones who took the lead in making the Egel. They're the ones who took the lead in many of the Averos. Why? They converted for the wrong reason.
They want to be on the winning side.
Right, they want to be on the winning side, and they can, but it's not acceptable. In the story of Purim, it was different. There was no open miracle. There was a revelation of Hashkocha Pratis. And that a goy can relate to. That a goy who wants. V'rabim me'amei ho'oretz misyahadim. Kinafal pachana yehudim aleihem. There was no open miracle. There was no, it was just a revelation of the Hashkocha Pratis. That is the adir, the eder of the Jewish people. We do see the rabbin me'amei haaretz misyahadim. Yeah, that's what it says. It says the rabbin, many people. I don't know what the translation was. Many the rabbin, many people me'amei haaretz from the nations of the world misyahadim became Jews. They became Jews.
There's a machlokes between the translators that the idea of Jastro is a cedar tree, cedar species.
Okay, but it's an exotic tree and it's called an eder. So I'm suggesting that the Chodesh of Adar, just like there's an eder which is related to the word adir, there is the Chodesh Adar that is related to the word adir, and just like the eder is a sign, it is an exotic demonstration. Who this is? Don't start up with this field. Don't be a squatter. You want to be a squatter? I remember when I first started to drive, so there's a lot of crime. There's a lot of crime. Always a lot of crime. So the person who helped me, you know, get a car many years ago, he told me I should get this bar.
Oh, yeah.
Bar. So he said to me. I remember he said to me. I'm telling you now, this bar is worth nothing. If they want your car, they got it. They got it. The only difference is, if they see the bar, they'll say, I'll go to the next car. It's just easier. It's easier just to go down the block and take the next car. So it's not. It just makes it a little more difficult, and it might make the difference to you, but it's not that this is the one. It's you do something, leave me alone. Don't chop it with me. Don't chop it with me. You have the eder is, if this house belongs to the gevir, the squatter, I'll just go to the next house. Why should I bother going into this house? It's a demonstration that there's something special here. Chodesh Adar, the name is a demonstration to the world that there's something special about Jewish people in the timeline of life. In the history of this world, which is time, there is something, there's an eder. The Eder is Chodesh Adar. In this month, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has demonstrated his Hashkocha for Klal Yisrael. He's protecting them. And watch out. Watch out. Stay away. And don't start up with Klal Yisrael. All right. There's more to do, but I think maybe we did enough. I think tomorrow we're going to go weiter. We're going to go weiter into the next Mismar. Sadi Dalet.